If you have a Bible, I want you to go to Acts chapter 10. All right, you got it by now, okay? Acts chapter 10 is where we are beginning here this morning. Today, I want to talk to you about what happens when we pray. We are in a season. I continue to say it's not a series, it's a season, because something is different in the atmosphere. Something is different at this church. Something is different in these services. Something is different as we pray, because God is changing the atmosphere. You know why? Because God is opening the windows of heaven. We're not just preaching a message. This is a word from the Lord for us right here, right now. Do you believe that? And so these 12 weeks from September 8th through December, excuse me, September 15th through December 8th, we have been challenging people in giving and praying and fasting. Giving, which means if you're not a faithful tither, the first thing you do is these 12 weeks, you're giving God the first. You're testing the Lord in this. And you're also considering giving the equivalent of 1 week's wage to the cost of the new sanctuary, okay? So I hope you're praying about that. Hope you're taking steps toward that. And we're believing God for a miracle offering. We will update our graph over here beginning next week concerning that. In the area of prayer, we're asking everybody to give them at least 1 hour per week to pray together with the church for these things that happen in Cornelius's house. And hundreds of you are showing up on Tuesday morning, Wednesday night at 6, Friday night at 7, Saturday morning at 6:30, and then continuing Sunday morning at 8:30. Thank you for doing that. And then we're fasting. The fasting challenge is 24-hour fast, one day a week for these 12 weeks. And all those of you that are enduring those headaches, God bless you. You are not alone. All right. And so if you're not yet part of this challenge, if you're not yet taking the challenge to participate, it is not too late for you to say, hey, count me in. I want to be part of that. As you leave today, there are cards, as many are on the wall. There are cards that you can fill out and say, hey, count me in. I'll be part of that. Okay. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 2. The Bible says Cornelius was a devout man and one who feared God. And the scripture says he prayed to God. How often? Always. He prayed. Acts chapter 10, verse 4. The scripture says, this is what the angel said to Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial to God. And then verse 9 of Acts chapter 10, the Bible says, the next day, Peter went up on the housetop to do what? How many would agree that prayer is a big part of the story? What happened at Cornelius's house, one of the main key or components of that is prayer. Matter of fact, I want you to notice that it was while both of these gentlemen were praying that an angel came to visit them. Cornelius was praying and fasting, and an angel came to him. Peter went on the rooftop to pray, and the Bible says the heavens were open to him, and he saw a vision from heaven. I want you to notice the common denominator is prayer. Acts chapter 10, verse 30, the scripture says, 4 days ago, this is Cornelius' testimony to Peter. He says, I was fasting till this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and a man in bright clothing stood before me. Okay, so prayer is a big component. Now, we've made the case that these blessings that happened in Acts chapter 10, the three components that Cornelius was doing was giving and praying and fasting. The very same things Jesus told us to do in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, okay? Now, I want you to notice the supernatural things that happened in this chapter when they were praying, okay? Some supernatural things happen when you pray. The spiritual atmosphere is changed when you pray. Cornelius was praying, an angel appears to him. Peter is praying, an angel appears to him, he has a vision. Then the Spirit is poured out, his whole household gets saved. Now watch this, I'm gonna make some strong statements to you. Are you ready? By the way, there's notes in your bulletin if you wanna follow along. The more we pray, the more likely supernatural things are to happen in your life. Can I go ahead and say that again? The more you pray, the more likely supernatural things are to happen in your life. The more I pray, the more divine revelation I'm going to experience. The more I pray, the more divine direction I'm going to receive from heaven. The more I pray, the more likely I will be to have a divine visitation. The more I pray, the more likely God will use me to draw men and women to Christ so that I might experience household salvation. the more I pray, the more likely I'm going to experience a spiritual outpouring of God's Spirit in my life. How many know Pentecost happened while they were praying? The more I pray, the more divine favor I will have. And we've defined divine favor as people telling you the Lord is with you. And how many know when you're with the Lord is with you? Come on, somebody, right? So it's about prayer. What happens when I pray? Cornelius was praying. Peter was praying. Now, wouldn't it be nice to know what they were praying? I'm not sure they were praying, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." Tim Hawkins says that's one of the scariest prayers ever prayed in the history of mankind. You know, "If I should die before I wake." It's kind of scary a little bit. Matthew chapter 6 gives us a picture of how they may have been praying. See, Pastor, how do we know what they were praying? Well, because in Matthew chapter 6, Peter was present when Jesus taught them how to pray. I'm waiting for you to come with me. We just crossed a bridge. I'm waiting for you to come with me, okay? We want to know what they were praying. How do we know what they were praying? Well, Peter was present in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus taught them how to pray, okay? And so in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us direction on how to pray. And Jesus describes what happens when we pray in this prayer that he teaches us how to pray. Okay? How many are with me? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. You may have heard this before. And if you've heard this before, go ahead and say it with me. Some of you don't even have to look at the screen. Are you ready? Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Heard a story of a person in an airplane who has experienced some trouble while flying his little private airplane. He called the control tower and said, "Pilot to tower, I'm 300 miles from the airport, 600 feet above ground, and I'm out of fuel. I'm descending rapidly. Please advise." "Tower to pilot," the dispatcher began, "repeat after me, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" How many would agree with me that the Lord's Prayer, instead of teaching us how to pray, has become this common rote ceremony of marriages and funerals and sometimes a vainless repetition of words? But it is much more than that. When Jesus was teaching us how to pray, he wasn't just saying, "Hey, you know, when you're in a tight spot, say these words and magic things will happen." No, he was describing also what happens when we pray. Okay, watch this. This is good stuff because the Lord showed it to me this week. All right, here it is. The Lord's Prayer shows us what happens when we pray. Here's the first part, verse 9. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What happens when we pray? We experience fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why is prayer so powerful? Why was it such a key for Cornelius and for Peter? Because the Bible says that when we pray, we experience fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, the first part of the Lord's Prayer is that we should worship God, hallowed be thy name. And how many know we access the presence of God through thanksgiving and prayer? Right? And so we come into his presence with thanksgiving. We're talking about fellowship. Now, this shows right off the top of the bat that this is not intended to be a formula. This is not intended to be a rote prayer, a robotic mantra to be repeated 1,000 times mindlessly. Because the prayer begins with our Father. That's a relationship, right? He's our Father. He's Abba Father. He's my dad. He's watching over me. He loves me. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm his child. That's not mindless repetition. That's not rubbing some Buddha belly, anybody. That's talking to somebody who's alive and well and who loves me. Come on, somebody, right? And so, you know, here's the deal. Some people think that God has no needs. Well, Pastor, Didn't you learn in theology class that God is transcendent? Now, that's a great theological word. You should learn it. Okay? Transcendent. What does it mean that God is transcendent? That means that God does not depend on anything other than himself to exist. Okay? So God is transcendent. You get really smart when you go to church at Grace. So I'm just saying. If you use that in Scrabble, you will win. Okay? So God doesn't need depend on anything other than himself. But I want you to think about this. The Bible also says that God is love. And love, by its very nature, has a need to be given and to be received. Love, by its nature, craves fellowship. And so you know what that means? God created us for love. He created us because he wanted us. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, for your pleasure, they are and were created. We were planned for God's pleasure. Come on, somebody. What does that mean? God, why did God create me? Why did God make me? The Bible says he made you because he wanted to. He made you so that you and him could have a relationship, so that he could be your father. And he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to have a relationship. I'm talking to somebody out here today, either here in person or somewhere on the internet, and you're saying, God doesn't love me. God doesn't care for me. He made you for himself. He made you. God doesn't want to talk to me. I haven't heard God's voice. He is waiting. He is the prodigal father standing at the end of the road watching for you to come home because he's your father. He loves you. He created us to walk with him and talk with him. And that's what Adam did in the Garden of Eden, right? He walked with God in the cool of the day. This is a picture of what God wants from us. He wants fellowship with us. He wants to be our friend. Amen. God's a person. Sometimes we forget that. The Holy Spirit is a person. A lot of times I'll begin my prayer time with this phrase. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Pastor, I don't even know how to begin. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to start. Start this way. Good morning, God. Because guess what prayer is? Prayer is a conversation with your Father, and he loves you. And when you pray, you experience fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Look at James chapter 4, verse 8. Come close to God. This is the Amplified Version. I love this. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. A lot of people are beginning to testify. Here we are in week 4 of our giving, praying, fasting emphasis. Something's happening in the spiritual atmosphere. It feels a little bit different at Grace. What's going on? Well, we're drawing close to God. And guess what? God's drawing close to us. Here's what we're doing. We're opening the door, right? For God to speak to us and to minister to us. He wants to fellowship with us. He loves being with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to come to church today, put his arms around you and encourage you and bless you and strengthen you and help you and guide you and visit you today. If only we'll pray. Look at this, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. If this doesn't give you a picture of God's heart, nothing will. Look at this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and what? Opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. God says, would you please open this door? Because I want to come talk to you. I got some stuff I want to show you. Oh, he's already back there. Sorry, never mind. That's for later. But he's already there. Let me see how I can work this into the sermon. Even when you're not expecting it, God is there when you're praying. Open heaven, baby, that's right. Come back. Look at this verse, Psalm 34, verse 9. Look at it on the screen. I love this, the Message Bible. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all his goodness. When we pray, we're fellowshipping with God, and the Bible says it opens the door to all his goodness. Here's what happens when we pray. The second part of the Lord's Prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that means when we pray, we experience the intervention of God in human affairs. What happens when we pray? When we pray, Jesus said we experience God intervening in human affairs. Now listen closely. The Bible says that heaven belongs to God. Get this. Listen, listen, listen. But God gave authority or dominion of the earth to who? Gave to us. He gave authority and dominion of the earth to men. Something happened in the Garden of Eden, and most of it was bad. Okay? Adam and Eve forfeited the authority that they had to whom? Okay, this is not hard. Satan, okay? The serpent, right? Now watch this. God did not stop Adam and Eve from forfeiting their authority to Satan. Because authority is our responsibility. Get this. Authority is our responsibility. We can give it up if we want to, or we can take it back in Jesus' name. Oh, I wish I had an hour to preach about this, right? Authority over the earth is still our responsibility. Come on, somebody. So when we come to God in prayer and we ask Him to intervene in our lives, then only because of prayer is God going to come and intervene. And the reason we need to pray is, if we don't pray, God has no reason to intervene in our lives. God has no excuse to enter our lives. God has no permission to enter into our lives. But watch this. When you pray, you are giving God permission to intervene in your life. Nod your head if you're with me, okay? I'm just not quite sure. I'm still listening. Okay, keep listening. People pray this nice little prayer, right? And then they give up. But the Bible says we should pray fervently and consistently for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. For God's kingdom to be established on the earth. Because here's the deal. The Bible says there's a war going on, right? And once we engage the enemy in a fight, we don't stop fighting until the victory is certain. If you give up, you will lose. But if you pray, and the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, God will intervene. If you pray, God will intervene. Get this. If you don't pray, God can't intervene. If you pray, God will intervene. If you don't pray, He can't. He doesn't have permission. What happens when we pray? Verse 11, look at this. Give us this day our daily bread. So when we pray, we receive God's provision. When we pray, we receive God's provision. You had no idea so many powerful things happen when we pray. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Look at this. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, little flock." Don't you love that? Don't be afraid, little flock. Little flock. My sheepies. Don't be afraid. Okay, I'm not trying to scare you. Listen, it's your Father's great happiness to give you the kingdom. We've created this picture of we have to trick God, or we have to earn stuff from God, or we have to manipulate God by saying the Lord's Prayer 10,000 times. No, 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 no. You have missed the heart of God. He says, "Come here, little flock. Come here, little flock. Do you understand? I want so bad to give you what you need. I want so bad to give you what I want you to have." But James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "We have not because we ask not." Come on, somebody. If we don't pray, there's no way God can provide. If we don't ask, He says, "I'm not going to answer." See, our problem is, here's part of our challenge, is because we think prayer is only about asking. You know, our prayer life consists of ask, 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 ask. We forget the relationship part. We forget the supernatural part, right? We just get right into asking, and if God doesn't give me what I want, then there's a problem. We've missed it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, look at this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about... Now, pause right there, and just I want you to see the relationship between worry and praying. If you are not praying, you will be worrying. If you are worrying, it's a pretty good sign you're not praying. A lot of folks are worried. Okay, this is a word from the Lord. Okay, something happens when I pray. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding, guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So if you're all worried up and bound up with fear here today, here's the word of the Lord. Go find a prayer closet. Go on a prayer walk. Go talk to Jesus. He's going to remind you everything's going to be okay. So when we ask for an open heaven, when we ask for divine, look, oh, here's the last part of Philippians 4, verse 6. This is the whole reason I put it up there. Here's what it says. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. The scripture says, tell God what you need. The old song says, call him up and tell him what you want, right? Tell God what you need. He wants to answer. So when we ask for an open heaven, when we ask for divine favor, when we ask for household blessing, when we ask for a divine visitation, all those things that happened to Cornelius's house, guess what you're going to get? Divine favor, divine revelation, divine visitation, a spiritual outpouring. Come on, somebody. That's what we're going to get because he says, I want you to ask. Verse 12. Here's the next part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay? What does that mean? When we pray, our hearts are cleaned. When we pray, our hearts are cleaned. So when we come up into the presence of a holy God, I mean, the first thing that should come to our minds is our own sinfulness, right? So when we pray, Jesus is saying, this is your opportunity to wash your hands and wash your heart before the Lord, just as the priest did before he went to the holy place, right? And the first part of this verse says, forgive us. So that's a corporate prayer. So if it's an individual prayer, it would say, forgive. How many know forgive me should be a regular part of your prayer life? Now, I don't know about maybe not you, but it is for me, okay? I pray this scripture a lot. First chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may not need to pray that prayer very much, but I'm pretty much on a regular basis quoting 1 John 1, 9. So when we pray, our hearts are cleaned. We cleanse our hearts. And the Bible says here that we forgive those who trespass against us. That reminds us that you can't have a right relationship with God and not have a right relationship with others. So when I pray, Pastor, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Pastor, I can't let that go. Yes, you can. It's a matter of if you will, if you won't. How do I do that? Pray. Because what happens when I pray? Something supernatural in me comes and cleans my heart, washes my spirit. Somebody say amen. I'm going to skip some stuff so I can get to the good part. All right. It's all good, right? How many know when we have clean hearts toward God and toward each other, we stay in position for God to give divine favor, divine revelation, divine visitation, a spiritual outpouring, right? We stay in position. Verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from. When we pray, here's what happens. We experience power over Satan. When we pray, we experience power over Satan. Now, this may be news to you, but Satan opposes God's plans. Satan opposes God's will. Satan opposes you, okay? Prayer opposes Satan's opposition. Okay? So when I pray, I'm opposing the opposer. Only by prayer, Jesus said, can we bind Satan. Can we hinder him? We bind Satan over our family so that they'll come to Jesus. We bind Satan over our finances because he's trying to steal from us. We bind Satan over our bodies as he tries to kill us. Many Christians accept way too much stuff in their lives. Rebellion and perversion and unrest in their homes, in their relationships, lying and stealing and anger and bitterness. Satan is having a free-for-all in too many Christians' homes, and we are accepting it as God's will. But Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And he says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How many know God has given us authority over the enemy? I say God has given us authority over the enemy. We express that authority through. You're getting it, okay? God has given us authority over the enemy, and we express that authority through prayer. How many know the Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood? We're wrestling against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And the Bible says they're throwing darts at us. They're trying to accuse us. They're trying to hinder us. They're trying to bind us, all right? There are demonic forces actively opposing you right now in your house and in your family. They're actively opposing you. And they have the devil's weapons. They have every arsenal that he has thrown them at us. What are we supposed to do? Well, I'm going to hold on till the end. Build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. No, the Bible says to take up the whole armor of God and to pray. And the Bible says when I pray, the Bible says deliver us from evil. So when I pray, you know what I'm doing? I'm opening the door. I'm opening the door and something begins to happen. Because I began to bind the enemy, and this angels who are coming against these demons, guess what? Whose responsibility is authority? Okay, this is just eye candy. Okay, watch me, okay? Right? Whose responsibility is authority? Okay, so I say, angel, bind that spirit of divisiveness in my house, and all of a sudden, he can't do that anymore because I'm praying, right? I'm on my knees, I'm coming to the altar, and I'm praying. I'm saying, God, bind those spirits of hatred and anger that are coming against me. Bind those spirits of whatever. You just begin to name them. You know what? Something in the heavenlies begins to take place because I opened the door, and angels begin to work on my behalf, and they begin to bind the enemy. All right, and guess what? They can't throw the darts anymore, right? They're not active in my life anymore. Why? Because I'm praying. Give it up if you believe that's true and for all these guys. It's amazing how many incredibly talented demons we have in our church. Worship team, come and help me if you would. Listen. When we pray, we affect the heavens. If we don't pray, those enemies of your soul have free access to you and to yours and to your relationships. Come on, somebody. Why is prayerlessness such a sin in God's eyes? Because it is a sin. Why is prayerlessness such a serious responsibility? Because Jesus said, when you pray, he said, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. There's a war going on. And when you pray, the Bible says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So if I bind, the angels are binding. The angels are wrapping those puppies up. Let me say this, and this is going to be a strong word, and we're about to do what we've been preaching about. We're going to pray. Get this. The prayer life that you have will always be known by the atmosphere in your life. Spiritual atmosphere. Come on, somebody. I know there are seasons when the enemy comes and, you know, we're going to read that about Job tonight in our small group. So there are seasons when the enemy comes and it just seems like it's all out. But I'm talking about on a general basis. Listen, you don't have to live bound up by the devil. You don't have to put up with that stuff. The Bible said, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. What's happening in the world today? What's happening around us today? Chaos, anarchy. We see the spirit of the Antichrist rising, rising, rising. That's why God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and what? Pray. Something happens in the atmosphere. Something happens in our country. Something happens in our nation. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We're experiencing what we're experiencing as a nation because the people of God have failed to pray. And we see all this junk just going, going, going. If the people of God would pray, the angels will begin to work and begin to hinder, and things will begin to change, and the atmosphere will begin to change in your life, at your house, in your neighborhood, at our church, in our community, in our state, ultimately in our nation. Come on, somebody. Now look at this. He says, lead us not into temptation. How many know First John chapter 2 says this, "Do not love the things of the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," three temptations, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world." Okay, the Bible says there's three temptations, okay? The lust of the eyes. We want everything. You know, we got greed. We got stuffitis, right? We don't have contentment with what we have. It's the lust of the eyes. I want, I want, I want. Guess what God's cure for that is? Giving. I want, come on. Giving is God's cure for that. Lust of the flesh, all right? We have fleshly appetites, physical appetites, emotional appetites, sexual appetites. We want more and more and more of what we shouldn't have. Our want to is out of control. It's outside God's lines. God's cure for that is fasting. You guys are good. The pride of life is arrogance and self-sufficiency and self-reliance. What's God's cure for that? It's prayer. Because you come to prayer with humility. You're relying on God. The humility of kneeling before the Lord in prayer. So guess what? When you give, when you pray, when you fast, you gain victory over temptation. Now here's the good news. We're about to pray. Why don't you stand if you would? Here's the good news. Anyone can pray. You don't have to have a degree in anything to pray. Everybody can pray. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, anyone can pray. And so guess what we're going to do today? Okay, we preached about giving last week. We took an offering. We preached about prayer today. We're going to pray. All right? Our worship team, if you could sing the chorus of this song as we begin here, as we pray today. I want to encourage you, there's a book for sale as you leave today called Secrets of the Secret Place. This is a tremendous encouragement in your prayer life. Some of you are doing the Circle Maker. That's very good too. This is a how-to of daily prayer. This is going to be the best investments of building a daily prayer you'll ever do. I want to challenge you too, this Wednesday night, coming the next several Wednesday nights, we're going to be devoted to prayer, okay? And so prayer and worship. How do I do this? How about you come on Wednesday? Let's do it together. Right? Join in one of the corporate prayer times, Tuesday morning, Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. Why are we doing all that? Because some stuff happens when we pray. Okay? And so we're going to do it right now. Would you close your eyes? Sing this chorus. And let's believe God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Would you just begin today right now? Just begin to worship the Lord. Come on, would you thank God? Come on, deep fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He made you to know you. He made you to love you. If you simply say, God, I love you. God, I thank you. God, I bless you. I thank you that you're my Father. I thank you, God, that you invited me into your family. Lord, you are my Father, and I love you. I bless you, God, for who you are. You're a good God. Hallowed be your name. Your name is great. Your name is awesome. Your name is holy, Lord. I come into your presence today, God, with gratitude for what you've done in my life, for the blessings of the Lord, God, for every good thing that you've given to me, Lord. I bless you. The scripture says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Begin to pray for God to intervene in your life. Come on, invite the Holy Spirit. God, I give you authority to come and intervene in my life. I give you authority to come and intervene in my heart. I give you authority to come and intervene in my family, in my relationships, where I work, in this community. God, I give you permission to come and have your way. Come on, church, lift up your voice. Let's pray. Come on, God, I give you permission to come and move and do your will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my neighborhood. Your will be done in my family, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we want you. We want you to do a work. God, we want you to do your will in our lives, we pray. In the name of Jesus, Give us this day our daily bread. Won't you pray for whatever you need in your life? Ask it. Say, Father, I need you to come and give divine direction. I need you to come and give divine revelation. I need you to come. I need you to come, oh God, and do wonderful things. God, provide supernaturally. Open the doors. Open the doors, oh God, and make your will happen. Come on, church. Are you lifting up your voice? We're praying. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, give us today our daily bread. Father, we're coming to ask you, God. We're asking you for household salvation, God. We're asking you, Lord, for every one of our family members to come to Jesus. God, that your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. God, make a way for that job to open. God, make a way for those finances to work. God, we pray that you would heal relationships. We pray, Lord God, that your power would be demonstrated in our lives. In Jesus' name, forgive us our debts as we forgive us our debtors. God, we pray that you would forgive us. We pray you'd wash us. We pray you'd cleanse us. We pray, God, that you would purify us. God, just as we took that cup in our hands a few moments ago and that bread, God, we're reminded that you forgave us. And so, God, we choose to forgive others. Come on, church, would you pray? God, we ask you to cleanse our hearts. We confess our sins. We confess our pride, God. We confess our arrogance. We confess, God, lying. We confess stealing. We confess apathy, God. We confess sins of prayerlessness to you, God. Forgive us. Purify us. Wash our hearts. Cleanse our spirits today in the name of Jesus. God, purify us from all of our unrighteousness. Cleanse our hands. Cleanse our minds. Cleanse our spirits, we pray. Forgive us, God. Help us to make it right with everybody who's offended us. God, help us to make it right with those who've wounded us, those that we're at odds with right now. Give us clean hearts and a pure spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Scripture says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. When we pray, we experience power over Satan. How is the enemy working against you? How is the enemy coming against you? Matter of fact, let's take it a step further. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know the enemy has released assignments against me. There's an attack. There's things going on. Step out of your seat and come to the altar. Come on, step out of your seat and come to the altar. We're going to surround you and believe God for victory in your life. Is there anybody else here today? Pastor, I just sense in the atmosphere, it's tough. Some things are going on. The enemy's coming against me. He's accusing me. He's throwing those darts. He's bringing up the past. He's playing dirty. You know, condemnation. Somebody in your past just popped up out of nowhere and all kinds of junk just started coming back to you. That is not from God. That's from the enemy. That's from the enemy. Come on, somebody. He's trying to accuse you. He's trying to condemn you. He's trying to break you. Now, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Come on, church, let's have some warfare here for these next few moments. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we open the doorways of heaven and we invite your angels to come and bind the spirits of hell. We invite your angels to come and work against the enemy who is working against us. Oppose the opposition, God. Be an enemy to our enemies today. In the name of Jesus, we bind the spirits of hell. We bind the spirits of darkness. We bind the demons who are working against the people of God, and we declare victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice in this house in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, because of the cross, because of the authority that you gave to us, God, we speak to every evil spirit. We speak to every strategy of darkness. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus has overcome you. The blood of Jesus binds you by the power of God's word, in Jesus' name. Now begin to identify whatever's working against you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, for freedom in the house of God. We pray, oh God, for freedom for the people of God. Deliver us from the evil one, God. Deliver us from darkness. Begin to bind up the spirits of darkness in the heavenlies. Begin to bind up the spirits of darkness over our homes and over our church. Begin to bind them up, oh God, so that your spirit can rule and reign, so that your spirit can move sovereignly and freely in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, open the heavens. Open the heavens over this house. Open the heavens over my home. Open the heavens, God, over my family. And let the angels of God visit and minister and heal and encourage and bless by God's Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. People who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. If his people, we look around and we see all kinds of stuff happening in our time, in our country. Do we sit back? Do we sit back and act helpless? No. No way. If my people will pray, he'll hear from heaven. Amen. Can we pray for our nation right now? There's never been a time, I don't believe, in the history of our nation where we're at a crossroads of life and death. Life and death. Will history look down at us and say the people of God were apathetic? The people of God were asleep? The people of God were focused on themselves? Or the people of God recognize that God called us for such a time as this to pray? Come on, lift up your hands. Cry out to God for our country. Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, cry out to God. God, forgive us. God, restore us. God, heal us. God, wash us. God, purify us. Lord, we recognize the spirits of darkness are working. But God, we bind the spirits of darkness. We bind the spirits of pride and arrogance and division. In the name of Jesus, bring humility to Washington, D.C., God. Bring humility to my house. Bring humility, God, to our nation. Bring humility to our government. God, bring humility to our leaders. In the name of Jesus, God, pour out your spirit on this great nation. Have mercy on us, oh God. Have mercy on us, oh God. Look down from heaven. Look down from heaven, Lord, and see and save and heal and restore and deliver. In the name of Jesus, is there anybody that would cry out to God, save us? Save us from this perverse generation, God. Save us from ourselves. Have mercy on us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we cry out to you, Lord. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one, God. Lord, we pray that the heavens over America will be changed. We pray, God, the heavens over our nation will be changed. We pray the atmosphere over our country will be changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that instead of arrogance and fear and lust and impurity, God, we pray there'll be a returning to you. God, we pray, God, there'll be a spirit of prayer. There'll be a spirit of repentance. There'll be a spirit of brokenness in the house of God, in the people of God, in our neighborhoods, God, in our state, in our nation. Lord God, let it start with us. We draw a circle around ourselves and we say, God, make us part of the solution. Make us part of the solution. God, start it in us today. In the name of Jesus, hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven.
Hear us from heaven.
Hear us, Lord.
Hear us from heaven.
Hear us from times Jesus asked somebody after he would speak to them, he would ask them this simple question. Do you believe this? He said, do you believe this? Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to act on it. Pastor, what do we do? What do we do after a message like this? You pray. You find a place to pray. When you get up tomorrow, you go find a place to pray. The next day, you go pray. When you hear stuff that worries you, you pray. When you see stuff you don't like going on, you pray. All right? And you don't step on communion cups. All right? When a church calls for a season of prayer, you come. You show up. Oh, well, Pastor, I know you're just trying to fill up our schedule because you're just trying to keep as busy as possible so you can manipulate us. God help you. I sense in my heart this is a critical, critical, many of you already know this, a critical time in our lives, our church's lives, and absolutely in our country. May it be said of us, we were faithful to the moment. We were faithful to the voice of God. We weren't so caught up in ourselves, in our own lives, our own business, and didn't recognize if somebody doesn't stop and pray, all that stuff that you like is going to be gone. I know this is strong here today, but do you sense there's a war going on? And if we'll pray, Jesus said, he'll deliver us from the evil one. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Pick up this book on your way out. It'll be a blessing. Sign up and join us, giving, praying, fasting, and let's be a people of prayer. Amen? Have a great day in Jesus. We love you.